you're from. That's just good singing the whole nine yards. I'll take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 10. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 10. If you find the place you're able to stand, I'd like you to look there with me just for a moment. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 10, and about verse number 28. In Matthew 10, 28, and here's what he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Now whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back in the house of God. We praise you and thank you that thou art God. Beside thee, there's nothing else. Lord, we pray that now you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Thank you, Lord, for those you've saved of late. Bless, I pray now, this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. Now, in the Bible lesson that we're looking at, I want to preach a little while on a subject. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. Now, you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, let me analyze that a minute. Do you know how many hairs you've got in your head? No, you don't. But God does. He not only knows how many hairs you've got in your head, he knows how many fell out. He knows what numbers fell out. That's something in him. That Bible said that his eyes is upon the sparrow and that he watches over you and I. We're more valuable than a sparrow. Nothing escapes his attention. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, first of all, we recognize that, oh, that we're born sinners without hope, without God. Listen, you're not a sinner because you sin. You're born a sinner because from birth and from Adam's race is that all of us are sinners without hope, without God, in need of the Savior, in need of salvation. Remember whenever Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, and Jesus finally ended up conversing with him and said, "Marvel not that I've said unto thee, ye must be born again." I got to tell you right now, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say those words ought to ring loud in your heart and in your mind and in your ear. Did you realize, I know, that over there in the book of Acts in chapter 16, you don't have to turn there. But in about verse number 30, you remember how that they were in the prison, Paul and Silas, and they were singing, and how that finally the shackles fell off, the doors of the prison were open, and the jailer was going to kill himself because of the fact he thought they had all escaped. And one of them hollered, "Do thyself no harm, we're all still right here." I want to say to you that it made such an impact upon him that he fell down upon his knees and no doubt and cried, "What must I do to be saved?" Now I want to ask you this morning here, all you boys and girls, I'm convinced with all my heart that Landon's not old enough to get saved. That Jackson, as good looking as he is and a nice haircut, he's not ready to get saved. That baby sitting there asleep's not ready to be saved. Some of you teenagers that are sitting out here, what is it that's holding you back? Are you saying that God's never dealt with your heart? Are you saying that God's never awakened you? Have you never felt like that it was the Holy Ghost of God singling you out and knocking upon your door and trying to tell you, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you"? What about that, boys and girls? Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that if you want to be saved, and I'm going to let you, don't lose your text, we're going to stay there. But in the book of Romans, I want you to see in chapter number 10, and I want to give you a moment there in that chapter that we're looking at. In Romans, in chapter number 10, you know what it's going to take to be able to get saved? You're going to have to, first of all, realize you're a sinner. And then you're going to have to realize the only Savior is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the reason why that he was born of a virgin, came and dwelt among men, grew up, went to the cross, bowed his head, said it's finished, rose again from the grave a third day victorious and glorious from the grave, that he might pay the sin debt that you and I have that we could not pay for ourselves. In Romans chapter number 10 is that you're going to have to call upon the Lord. Look in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can remember when I called on him. You may not can remember the date, and you may not can remember, you know, all a bunch of particulars and this and that, but you know the experience of whenever God lets you pass from death unto life. I want you to see in Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it, talking about the scripture? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? Do you believe with all of your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt? And do you believe that he not only died, but the rest of that, and God, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? Let me tell you, the only plan of redemption that God has given is in his only begotten Son. His name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me tell you right now, if you could go to that tomb, it's empty. It's just empty. I noticed something else about that. Not only are we talking about the resurrected Christ, but the Bible said, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to tell you is that the scripture said, by the word of the Lord, if you believe in Jesus with all of your heart and you call upon him, then you ought to get up out of the seat when the invitation's given, and you ought to come forward and not just get on the altar and pray, but you ought to come forward. Preacher, God's calling me out. I want to be saved by the grace of God. Hey, that's what you ought to be doing. See? Some of you are sitting here and you thinking, you know, hey, everything's all right. My pawpaw's a preacher. Pawpaw can't let you go to heaven on his coattail because the Lord won't. If I could, I would. But you'll have to individually come to face yourself and to face the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this lesson that you're looking at is that not only do you call upon the Lord, but I want you to notice, if you will, please, is that in the book of Acts, and turn quickly there, in the book of Acts chapter number 28, I want to say that when Jesus said, come unto me, you're going to find out you've got to have a repentance and you got to have a faith. And by the way, I said the other day something about Franklin Graham, but in his little spiel he says, if you're ready to repent, he does get it right on that. Let me tell you, it's not something you can work up, but when God grants you repentance and grants you, makes you sick of yourself and sick of your sins and just like you are, Jesus, here's what he said, the book of Acts, chapter number 28. Now look at about verse number 27 in the passage that's there. And he says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and that I should heal them. I'll tell you what the danger is, dear friend. You've heard it so long and so much, you don't hear no more. You saw yourself a time or two, but you don't want to see it again. That's a danger. Let me tell you what ended up happening. That's what happened to Israel as a nation. And that's the reason why that she's blind in part and lost without God. And she's one of these days going to be born again as a nation in one day. But until then, she's got something across her heart, something wrong with her heart, something wrong now with her seeing, with her hearing, so forth and all. Now, I want to ask you this, and all you boys and girls, and I realize I don't, but do you want to go to heaven when you die? That's a good question for you. Do you want to? Or would you just rather go to Walmart? See that? Maybe you'd rather go maybe to the fun park. Maybe you'd just rather be left alone. You better hope God never leaves you alone. In this lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out the Bible said that you ought to call, number one, upon the Lord. Number two, you ought to confess it. Look back in your text. Look over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 10 that we read. And the Bible says, is that in verse number, where was that? in verse number 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. You know how you do that, don't you? Is you got up out of your seat because God's knocking on your heart. You've trusted Jesus with all of your heart, your soul, and your might, and you're coming forward to let it be known, I'm a child of the King, I'm born again. You may be sitting here this morning and being saved. I ask God to save you at the house, or ask God to save you down riding down the road, or ask God to save, and you've just never followed the Lord in baptism. That means you've never come confessing it before men. Now, if you're a child of God, you will, and you ought to, and you should. You ought to call upon the name of the Lord, confess him before men. That's what this congregation's for. And I guarantee you what it'll do for you. It'll make you confess him not only in the confines of this wall, but you'll confess him out there in a lost and to a dying world. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible said over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 12, and I want you to look at that in verse number 37, Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. He said, for by thy words, this is your words now, by thy words I shalt be justified, and by thy words I shalt be condemned. Now here's what's ending up happening. God's listening for you to speak. God's listening for your words. Do you know there's going to be people that are going to stand before God that went to a devil's hell? And you know what God's plainly saying to them? I kept listening for you to call and you wouldn't do it. I kept listening for you to confess and you wouldn't do it. I kept saying, come unto me, but you wouldn't come. You know the Bible said over in the book, you don't have to turn there, but over there in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, about verse number 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Isn't that something? Just by when God comes knocking, you confess him, confess you're a sinner, confess he's the Savior, and you call upon the name of the Lord, and he'll convert you. I mean, just completely turn your whole life around. And that's why that he says you ought to choose life. Listen, your words can either justify or condemn you, just whichever one you'd rather have. But back in your text over in Matthew in chapter number 10, I want to say to you as we get ready to get down to the short road, is the Lord tugging at your heart this morning? What about you, young man, young lady, sir, ma'am? Hey, we're talking, you know, we're not just talking to kiddos, we're talking to individuals. You may be living on borrowed time, I don't know, but what I do know is that God's listening for you and God's looking for you. And today's the day. Now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. And let me say to you that if you will, please, is that if the Lord's tugging at your heart, is he tugging at you? Then you ought to come to Christ. If he's tugging at you, you ought to confess him before men. Listen, you've been enlightened already by the word of the Lord. You've heard it since the day you were born and big enough to hear. You've been enlightened. You've been invited. So what is it you're waiting for exactly? See? This Bible says in verse number 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. I can tell you what right now, it's a joyful feeling to be able to know that when you've confessed him and you've responded toward him and you've made an open confession because of him, the peace of God that passeth all understanding in your heart and your soul and your mind. You've not chosen me, Jesus said, but I've chosen you. Now don't think for one minute that you're going to do it in your own good time and your own good pleasure. You know, that's the cockiness of this woke world that we're living in. But I got to tell you right now, you'll either come God's way or you won't get there. That's that simple. I want to ask you, and as we get ready to sing the invitation song, our song director's coming, our musicians are coming. What about you, young man or young lady? Has God been tugging at your heart at all? Sir, ma'am, has God been tugging at your heart at all? Then while we get ready to stand and to bow our heads and pray, Father, now I'm asking you, there might be a man or woman, a boy or girl, that you're knocking on their heart's door as we speak. I trust it be so. Yes. And I trust they'll come and confess before men that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Thank God, now I can see. We want to say thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 375.
If you need to come, come quickly and do it while we sing.